Welcome to Nach Yomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schupp. Before we proceed to study chapter 45, the shortest and among the most enigmatic in Sefer Yirmiyahu, we shall recap the previous chapter in which we witnessed the power of cognitive dissonance, which warps human behavior when beliefs clash with immutable facts. The devastation of Mamlechet Yehuda was undeniable, and the survivors who escaped to Egypt could not shake off the horrors that they had witnessed. However, they disagreed, some vehemently, in explaining the underlying causes that resulted in the loss of so many lives and culminated in the destruction of their homeland. Though their experiences had been foretold in the Tochacha of Moshe Rabbeinu in the Book of Dvarim, the kingdom of Yehuda had been miraculously spared the fate of the banished 10 tribes. No harm came to them when Judean leaders made peace with Assyria and adopted many of their customs and philosophies. Many drew the conclusion that victories reaped by pagan nations demonstrate the superiority of their enemies' cultures. The recent events, which the refugees in Egypt had witnessed, made them question whether Hashem, whom they still worshipped as the creator of heaven and earth, still intervened in human history. So many of Hashem's most devout servants were not spared the sword, the famine, and the humiliation of exile. Perhaps their ancestors were correct in hedging their bets when they also paid tribute to the idols that represented the natural forces that controlled the rain and the thunder, the tides and the winds, the fertility of crops, and the health of their flocks. So long as Jews served those idols, they prospered. But once King Yoshiyahu eradicated the pagan altars, a chain of disasters befell the Judean kingdom. Yoshiyahu was killed in the battle at Megiddo. Paro Necho conquered the kingdom Yehuda and imposed crushing taxes. Nebuchadnezzar followed in his wake and vanquished Eretz Israel. He then destroyed the cities of Yehuda and exiled the Jews living there. He took captive the royal family and the upper classes in Jerusalem and looted the Beit HaMikdash. Finally, the Chaldeans burned the house of Hashem. Now, these Jews, finding safe haven in Egypt, were awestruck by the idolaters' engineering feats, their prowess on the battlefield, and the majesty of their pyramids and temples. Yirmiyahu could not refute their arguments and could not validate that his call for repentance and a faithful and exclusive allegiance to Hashem and his Torah would yield a restoration and a safe return of the exiles or their descendants to their homeland. Instead, he gave the survivors a sign which would validate his prophecy and prove which path would lead to the fulfillment of the blessings Hashem promised to those who remained faithful and abide by his laws. Other prophets could provide signs that validated them as true prophets of the one and only God. In his early years, Moshe was very concerned that the Israelites enslaved in Egypt would not believe that Hashem communicated with him, complaining, "V'hen lo ya'aminu li." And though he was given some signs, Pharaoh's magicians could also turn their rods into serpents. Throughout the years, even as he had succeeded in leading these people out of slavery, he split the sea and sweetened the brackish water in the desert, Moshe was hounded by skeptics, culminating in the rebellion of Korach and his band. It was then that Moshe Rabbeinu demanded proof. Moshe said, "This is how you will know that Hashem has sent me to do all these things, for it was not my own doing. If these men die a natural death, or if they suffer the fate of all men, then Hashem has not sent me. But if Hashem brings about something unprecedented, and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them, and all that belongs to them, so that they go down alive into Sheol, then you will know that these men have despised Hashem. Similarly, when confronting the priests of the Baal, Eliyahu HaNavi demanded a miracle to prove that he was a true prophet of the one and only God. At the time of the evening sacrifice, Eliyahu the Navi approached the altar and said, Hashem, God of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yisrael, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Hashem. Answer me so that these people will know that you, Hashem, are God. Thus, at the end of chapter 44, we hear of the one and only time Yirmiyahu provided a sign to verify the truth of his prognostications. It is also the last recorded prophecy of Yirmiyahu to the Jews. Vezot lachem haot neum Hashem, ki poked ani aleichem b'makom hazeh leman tedu ki kom yakumu dvarai aleichem lera'a. Kor amar Hashem, hineni notenet paro chofra melech Mitzrayim b'yad oivav u'v'yad mevakshei nafsho, kasher natati et Tzidkiyahu melech Yehuda b'yad Nebuchadrezzar melech Bavel oivo u'mevakesh nafsho. This will be a sign to you that I will punish you in this place, declares Hashem, so that you may know that my threats of harm against you will surely stand. This is what Hashem said. Behold, I will deliver Paro Chofra, king of Egypt, into the hand of his enemies, into the hand of those who seek his life. Just as I delivered Tzidkiyahu, the king of Yehuda, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylonia, his enemy who sought his life. Indeed, Paro Chofra was murdered about 18 years after the Churban. A mere 2 years later, Nebuchadnezzar attacked Egypt. What happened to the Jews living in Egypt is reported only by Yosef ben Matityahu, known as Josephus, who wrote that they were taken captive and exiled to Babylon. Then they knew that Yirmiyahu was a true prophet, but a little too little, a little too late. So in chapter 45, we are thrown abruptly to the past, back to the fourth year of Jehoiakim, just as Nebuchadnezzar began his campaign of conquest. This chapter opens, Hadavar asher diber Yirmiyahu Anavi, אל ברוך בנריה, בכותבו את הדברים האלה על ספר מפי ירמיהו, בשנה הרביעית ליהויקים, בן יושיהו, מלך יהודה, לאמור. The opening of chapter 45 is linked to chapter 36 of this book, to the time that Yirmiyahu was imprisoned by the Judean king and could not personally address the nation or the royal court, to warn them that Nebuchadnezzar is marching towards Yehuda. He called on Baruch ben Neria, a Kohen, and member of the royal court, who would become his protege and secretary, and had him inscribe on a scroll his messages and directed him to read them aloud on the Temple Mount. Baruch suffered alongside his Rebbe, Yirmiyahu, and was continuously persecuted for his loyalty to the prophet. Malbim cites Chazal that the scroll included at least some of the lamentations that Yirmiyahu authored, Beruach HaKodesh, as well as warnings about the forthcoming disasters. As you recall, Jehoiakim brashly cut that scroll and burned it. Baruch ben Neria was commanded later to make another copy and keep it safe as a testament for the future. He was later entrusted to record all Yirmiyahu's prophecies and writings and chronicle the events he witnessed as the student and faithful servant of the prophet, which he would ultimately bring back to Bavel, where he served as mentor to Ezra HaSofer. When Baruch became spokesman as well as scribe for Yirmiyahu, the prophet noticed that his protege was hoping for divine revelation for himself. Radak notes that he strove to become a Navi, who would follow in the footsteps of his master, just as Yehoshua had succeeded Moshe Rabbeinu, and agonized when he could not attain the ecstatic experience of Nevuah. So Yirmiyahu spoke to his student, as recorded in verses 2 and 3 of this chapter. Koh amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael alecha Baruch. Amarta oy nali, ki yasaf Hashem yagon al machovi. Yagati be'enchati, u'menucha lo matzati. This is what Hashem, the God of Israel, says to you, Baruch. You have thought, woe to me, because Hashem has added sorrow to my pain. I am weary with groaning and have found no serenity. The Midrash indicates that Baruch suffered pain and humiliation for publicizing Yirmiyahu's words, only to have his spiritual aspirations repeatedly frustrated. So Yirmiyahu apparently prayed for his student and received a message that combines admonishment with condolences. Ko tomar elav, ko amar Hashem. Hinei asher baniti ani hores, ve'et asher natati ani notesh, ve'et kol haaretz hi. Ve'ata tevakesh lecha gdolot? Al tevakesh! כי הנני מביא רעה על כל בשר, נאום השם. ונתתי לך את נפשך לשלל על כל המקומות אשר תלך שם. Thus shall you say to Baruch, this is what Hashem said. I will demolish what I have built and uproot what I have planted throughout the land. And you seek great things for yourself? Stop seeking! For I will bring disaster on every creature, declares Hashem. But I will grant you your life as a spoil of war wherever you go. Does this message verify the wisdom of Shlomo HaMelech in Kohelet, who taught Yosef Da'at Yosef Machov? For with much wisdom comes much sorrow, and as knowledge grows, grief increases. Rashi quotes the Mechilta that mitigates this harsh message. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if there is no vineyard, there is no need for a fence. If there is no sheep, there is no need for a shepherd. Prophets receive the word of God only when the people of Israel are worthy. Does the placement of this short chapter indicate that thereafter, in Egyptian exile, Yirmiyahu would receive no more messages from Hashem? Thank you for learning together. Le'ilui Nishmat Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bat Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.